I'll come up during the prelude. Good morning. Oh my gosh. You guys, you can do better than that. Good morning. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Those of you who are visiting this morning, welcome with us here at First Baptist Church on social media and radio. We welcome you as well. As we got started this morning, as we prepare our hearts for worship, I want to just share with you Dr. Dennison's blog that came out on Friday. And I'm going to read, beginning in the middle down, kind of the state of where we are as a country. And he gives a very good Christian perspective from a Cuban pastor's eyes. But he starts first with Ruth Graham's warning. He says, judgment in the Bible comes in two phases. The first is passive, as God allows us the consequences of our sinful choices. If we still refuse to repent, he responds proactively by bringing clear and sometimes cataclysmic judgment on sinful peoples and nations. Christians have been asking across recent years whether God is judging America. Not just in the passive sense, but in the proactive sense. From a viral pandemic to extreme weather to natural disasters, these days seem apocalyptic in nature. With our society's ever more passionate rejection of biblical morality and escalating condemnation of Christians as bigoted and dangerous, it's easy to wonder how divine judgment can be far off. Ruth Graham, commenting on her husband's book on sinful conditions in America, said to him, Billy, if God doesn't come soon and bring judgment upon the United States, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. However, there's another way to see God's relationship with America, a Cuban pastor suggested. I'd preached in his church many times, and now he was in Dallas at my invitation to speak to our congregation. My wife and I hosted him one evening during dinner. He turned to me and said, I've been studying your country. I believe God has blessed America from its beginnings to today, and I believe I know why. I was fascinated to hear his rather unique perspective on the subject. My Cuban friend continued, God is blessing America so America's Christians can bless the world. I understand the logic of his assertion. From financial resources to religious freedom and global influence, America Christians have been given remarkable opportunities to send missionaries, offer benevolence, and otherwise bless the nations. It makes sense that God would bless our nation. But are we truly blessed? Paul's description of the job of an overseer is God's call to his church and her leaders still today. In Titus 1:9, he says he must hold firm to trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also be able to rebuke those who contradict it. Do America churches hold firm to the trustworthy word today? When clergy endorse abortion and bless abortion clinics, perform same-sex weddings, invite guest presenters in drag to a special communion worship service, and endorse transgender transitions for children of any age, are they truly blessing America? Do American Christians who hold firm to the trustworthy word also give instruction in sound doctrine? Are we addressing the critical issue of our day from our pulpits and through our personal influence? Are we sharing the gospel with the lost? If we are not, are we truly blessing America? If we are willing to share biblical truth, are we also willing to rebuke those who contradict it? Rebuke in the Greek means to expose, correct, and convince. Are we courageous enough to take a sacrificial stand for biblical morality and to challenge those who do not while speaking the truth in love? If we're not, are we truly blessing America? By my Cuban friend's logic, if we are not blessing the world, how can God bless our nation? If he cannot, how long will a holy God delay his judgment on America? I am not predicting his timetable, but we must not presume on his grace. As you can see, today's discussion is urgent. Let me close by asking you to renew your commitment to our threefold commission. Hold firm to God's word, give instruction in sound doctrine to others, and rebuke those who contradict it in love. In this way, we will do the glory of God and extend his kingdom. C.S. Lewis noted, the glory of God, and as our only means of glorifying him, the salvation of human souls, is the real business of life. He concludes, is this your business in life? And I read that to you because at the end of the day, it's about people and Jesus and people. When the dust settles, it's about, do you have a relationship with Jesus or do you not? And if we hold the truth, and I will be sharing some of that here in James during my message, if we hold the truth and know the truth and know it's right and know it's God's will, do we not share that, especially when somebody is going down a wrong path? I was pleased to hear the positive comments last week with Mr. Jeff Combs, and I want you to know that whoever comes here to fulfill the pulpit in my absence, they're going to hold true to the scriptures. They're going to be sound doctrinally, theologically correct, and they're going to be in love with the Lord. That's who I will leave you with when I am not here. And folks, we have to take that outside of these walls. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We're supposed to hide it in our hearts. So it'll be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Again, I pray that you'll give us the desire and the energy to embrace your word as if we were going to the table embracing our favorite meal. The only way to know the truth is to be in your word so we can discern what is not true. Help us not to be arrogant or prideful, but in knowledge and wisdom, and especially in love, with grace laced in conversations and mercy upon our hearts to share this with those around us. I thank you this morning, and help us as we prepare this morning to worship you and you alone. May our minds and our hearts be ever after you. We just pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Patty. Would you stand with me, please?
Good morning. We've got a bumper crowd this morning. I'm glad to see you. This morning we're going to talk about temptation. Do you know what temptation is? When you start to do something wrong, you know it's wrong. Can you think of what a temptation might be for anybody? What do you think is, you know something that's bad to do? What's something bad to do? It's scary when you get a microphone, isn't it? Yeah. Anybody? No? Okay, we've got a shy crowd. That's okay. I'm shy too, but I'm up here. Okay, so we're talking about temptation. And some temptations, for example, you might be tempted to lie if you think you're going to get in trouble. Have you ever done that? I've done that. You might be tempted to, if you haven't done your homework and you haven't studied and you've got a test, you might be tempted to look over there and see what the smart kid has. We're tempted in a lot of ways. And sometimes we're tempted not to obey our parents. When they tell us to do something, sometimes we're tempted. But I want to tell you, being tempted is not sin. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. And the devil is the one that tempts us. Jesus never tempts us. Okay? You got that? All right. So let's look at the scripture and see what the Bible says. This is a big scripture, but we're going to break it down. It says, no temptation has taken you but what is common to mankind. So there are no new temptations. All temptations are, you know, the third person to come into the world killed the fourth one. So all kinds of, and teenagers and kids back since the beginning of time, if you read some of the old scriptures or some of the old writings back in those days, you would think you were reading it today about misbehaving and about temptation. But it says God is faithful. See, that's the key. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted above that which you're able. Okay, can we have that next scripture, please, the next part? Now look at this. But when you're tempted, God will provide a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. And I heard this true story about some boys that were chasing a rabbit because they just wanted to play with it. But to make it more interesting, this little rabbit we're going to call Fluffy, okay? And I'm going to need some helpers. This is Fluffy. Pretty good size. Grass looks better over there.